Oh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead. Sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet. Toes. Come on. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
Sweeten your business purchases with American Express Blue Business Cash, the card that makes everyday expenses extra rewarding. You'll earn 2% cash back on your first $50,000 in purchases per year, and then 1% after that, so you can treat your bottom line and give your business a helpful boost. Swipe after swipe. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/bluebusinesscash. Amex Blue Business Cash. Built for business by American Express.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
The Last of Us, Episode 1, When You're Lost in the Darkness, is over. But we're just getting started here on post-show recaps, or really, we've been started. We're catching up here on post-show recaps. And that's sort of the name of the game here on the First Playthrough podcast. I am Brooklyn Zed here with my co-host Jess Sterling, where we are playing the game for the first time that's been out for 10 years. Jess, how are you doing?
I'm super excited to get into this. Feel like this has been mega hyped here on Posture Recaps and kind of everywhere. And so avoiding spoilers is the name of the game, probably for the both of us. And I'm having a great time. I play during the light time so I don't get scared. And so far, so good.
Yeah, I would say this first chapter, as it were, was not so much scary as just grim, really. There's really grim.
Yeah, I think it's funny. We talked a little bit in the kickoff podcast about our knowledge of the game going in and kind of what we knew previously. I will say this chunk that we played for the podcast today was pretty much exactly what I knew and had already played. So it
was a lot more than 10 minutes.
I thought in my head it was 10 minutes. And then apparently it was much more than 10 minutes. But I will say, like, I liked not knowing a little bit, because to give a little bit of behind the scenes here, I watched the episode first and then played the game, although to be fair, I had already played this part, whereas you did the opposite. You played the game and then you watched the episode. Correct. So out of curiosity, did you expect that, knowing that the show was going to be about a man and a young girl, adult man and a young girl, were you surprised when Sarah got killed off so quickly?
Yeah, I asked right at the start. I was like, okay, is this Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey? And no one in the Twitch chat answered me. And I was like, oh boy.
Uh-oh.
This might not go well.
In fact, I thought it was, because I didn't know, again, playing the game for the first time, I didn't know the names of the characters. I only knew what you knew, like the Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey. And I thought that the girl was Bella Ramsey and the guy was gonna die. So then when she died, I was like, for the very first time. So I'm kind of happy that I did get to play a chunk before we started, so that surprise was there. Although now I'll just be surprised by the show, I suppose, and you'll be surprised by the game. So that'll be kind of a fun little twist that we have going on.
Although I will say, playing the game first, there certainly are differences between the game and the show, and we'll talk about that as we go through here. I know that Grace and Taryn are also covering the video game from the context of having played the whole thing. So if you are looking for that perspective, go see them. For probably obvious reasons, we're not listening to that podcast.
I'm trying to avoid most of the podcasts, to be honest, because I don't know about you. I really want a pure experience as much as humanly possible, at least with experiencing things for the first time without knowing like, oh, this will be important later, or watch out for this and that. So I've muted, if you are in our patron Discord, pusherrecaps.com/patron, I have muted both of the channels for my own sanity that I'm not going to somehow spoil myself. I'm going for the purest possible experience that one could have while watching the show simultaneously.
For those of you who are listening to this in the Final Fantasy feed, know I have a little more practice at playing games that people love that have been around for a long time and just walking blindly through life. Surrounded by pop culture that I know nothing about. So I'm peeking my head in there. To be fair to everybody in the Discord, folks are really, really good about spoilers and lots of spoiler tags and text. And I mostly don't click on things unless someone specifically tags me to look at it. But I'm excited to talk about it here because I haven't really shared my opinions too much beyond the breadcrumb theory. Did you see the breadcrumb theory that's going around? People who are listening to all the podcasts have probably now heard this 6 times.
You know what? I will say I have not heard the breadcrumb theory because I am sticking fully my head out in the sand. What is the breadcrumb theory?
I hate it. And I made the mistake of mentioning it to my friends at work when they were talking about the show, and that it was all they talked about for 20 minutes. And it's the grossest thing in the world to me. My least favorite part of the episode, I think, was that lingering close-up shot on neighbor grandma with the like tentacles coming out of her mouth or whatever.
That was nasty.
Looked like a clump of hair or something to me.
If it was hair for a minute.
I didn't know what was going on, but I did not like it. And we stayed there way too long and I was very uncomfortable. But the theory is that I believe the fungus having taken over has like closed her mouth so that she can't eat, which is why you see Mr. Neighbor trying to like stick biscuit in her mouth, and then you see Mrs. Neighbor trying to get her to eat a cookie, and they can't get her to eat anything
because the only thing she can eat is human flesh. Fascinating. Why is this called the breadcrumb theory?
Because it's bread based, the things that they're eating, and then there's no pancake mix at Pedro Pascal's, at Joel's house.
Yeah.
And that maybe he was saved from infection because possibly this is transmitted by flour somehow.
But flour doesn't come from fungus.
Listen, these are the literal breadcrumbs I have picked up left and right while not totally being involved in the conversation.
Yeah, I think that's going to be fun for us to try to track. I think one of the things I'm looking most forward to with this podcast and kind of having our experiences be fairly unspoiled and pure is getting to theorize about this type of stuff, because obviously the show gives us more background and kind of lead up to the actual pandemic, or you know, whatever you want to call it, epidemic, pandemic. The show gives us a little bit more lead up. I think the game feels like, okay, we're getting these clues based on like the TV that's left on in the background, right, and kind of the explosions taking place outside. The show to me was a little more overt in some of those things, right? When you see like the ambulances speeding by when Sarah is at the watch shop.
Talk about that a little bit, because the very first major difference is the very start of the episode. And the show, in contrast to the game, I think puts us in very specific places in time. I didn't notice the game saying it's 2003.
Yeah.
Thanks, game. I appreciate you, because the show was like, hey, what if this pandemic was happening in 2023? And I was like, hey, what if it wasn't? We're good.
Yeah,
we got enough going there, on in 2023, HBO. Thanks.
Yeah, the thing I noticed immediately, right, was that that Sarah had a landline in her bedroom in the video mm-hmm. game versus in the show. It is a bit more modern, right? Because in the game, it's 2003. In the show, it's 2013, right?
Right. I think that's right.
So,
or no, vice versa.
Sorry. Yes, I meant the other way around. Yeah, because then you have, right, you see the cell phone in the video game as well, Joel's cell phone. So, yeah, we do start off a little bit differently. I liked getting I feel like the show did a good job of letting us get to know who Sarah was so that it hurt that much more when she died. So that part, I thought the show did excellently. Not that I didn't care about Sarah in the video game, just that it was kind of nice to see a little bit more of a glimpse into Sarah and Joel's life together, and just seeing how self-sufficient Sarah is, right? Like, we get the thing of her making the eggs, and maybe she's not so great at it because there's shells in there, but at least she is the one cooking the breakfast. We're following her to the watch store. We're seeing her, like, she is a very self-sufficient teenager. And yeah. I think she's also a little bit older in the show than she is in the game. At least the vibes, it feels like
it
she's
certainly
a little older.
Felt that way. Yeah. Yeah. And I would say also, having played the game already first, I was a little resentful that they were giving us this extra time, because I knew now what was coming.
Right.
And
yes,
I was like, this is painful. You're just giving us a little more time to get invested in this character that I know now is going to die halfway through the episode.
Yeah.
And we see this, like, really endearing relationship between the two of them. That's sort of like single parent, single child relationship that I think you often see, where they have like a friendship about them, and like they make jokes, and she's like, yeah, there's eggshells. It's calcium. It's good for you. That I thought was really, really sweet. And the chemistry between the two of them, between Pedro Pascal and Tandrine Newton's daughter,
Nico Parker.
Thank you.
You're welcome. She was absolutely excellent.
I'm like, really sad we're not going to get more of her.
Me too. And which is funny, because if I knew Bella Ramsey was going to be, playing Ellie. So I knew going into the show, if I had watched this completely unspoiled, I would have known Sarah was not going to be long for this world. But it still, I thought they did such a good job at setting up that relationship between the two of them. And I liked that they expanded on the show a bit. I mean, I don't know about you. In my youth, I was much more of like a jerk about like if they adapt like with adaptations of this isn't exactly the same. Mm-hmm. But I think as I've gotten older, it's an adaptation for a reason. They add stuff, they cut stuff, because certain things, like we'll talk through the game portion of running through the buildings and finding things, right, for like to make shivs to all that. That's not going to be fun to watch on TV.
But I was resentful
because you had to do it all.
I struggled in doing those things in the game. And I was like, where's the docks? Where's the thing I had to do three times? You know, that's not even in the show at all.
Yeah, I liked the added beginning of the show to give us a little bit more context and give us a little bit more of the Sarah and Joel relationship, even knowing that Sarah wasn't going to be around. I also thought they did a good job at introducing us to Tommy, who is a bigger character in the beginning of the show here than we see. So I thought that was really nice to kind of get that breakfast with the three of them, knowing that. Again, I feel like I know at least that Tommy is important, because he is mentioned in when we jump 20 years in the future. He is an important character. He's still around.
Yeah, he's still around.
Yeah. Although not like physically, right? He's like supposedly in Wyoming or something.
Yeah. So I had thought we were in Texas, but then, and maybe that's where we start.
We start in Texas.
20 years later, we're in Boston or somewhere near Boston.
Yeah. And I was curious. I mean, I don't know. Again, I'm unspoiled on the game. I don't know if we'll get flashback scenes. I'm very curious how Joel got from Texas to Boston in these 20 years. Like, what got him there, you know?
Yeah, that's a lot of distance to cover, especially living in an apocalyptic landscape.
Well, you know that, like, gas and vehicles are hard to come by. Throughways are probably, you know, any major highway is going to be backed up to the high heavens with vehicles that are, I mean, we've all seen The Walking Dead. We know. So, yeah, I'm not sure if we'll get any of that information, but I'd be very curious to know.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see how they would do that in video game format specifically. Not difficult to do in the show, but I don't know why they'd put that in the show if it's not in the game. But let's start at the very beginning of the show. We're not doing a full recap of the episode. If you want that, go listen to Grace and Mike, who talked about it right after the episode aired on Sunday. But at the very beginning of this episode, we have a scene added that is not in the game that is two epidemiologists, a word I didn't know very well until about 3 years ago, talking to a TV news host, like on a daytime talk show, maybe, or something like that, about potential for a virus or a pandemic or how that could possibly happen.
Yeah, and it's it takes place in 1968, so quite a long time ago. Like you said, this isn't in the video game, and they're talking about the potential for some kind of pandemic caused by fungi. And I think this word is going to be important to us, like cordyceps, I think, is what they say. That seems to be a buzzword in the show, or maybe even the game, so we're going to have to get to know that word a little bit more. But they said that there's no treatment or cure, and so if there is a fungal infection, they'll basically be able, normally they wouldn't be able to survive in humans because of the high body heat, but with global warming playing a part, they will be able to. And basically they are going to take over the body, right? The human body, and use it as a puppet, which is horrifying.
Yeah.
Mushrooms are pretty like gross, right? Fungus. Like, no one likes the word fungus.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Is this better or worse for you than like your typical Walking Dead style zombie infection?
Hard to say. I didn't watch a lot of The Walking Dead. I watched about 4 episodes, and then I kept waiting for the women to do literally anything, and they didn't. Yeah. And so I stopped.
Fair. I think you got the gist, though. I feel like that's all you need to know.
Yeah. Arguably... Well, what I learned on The Walking Dead is you can just shoot a zombie with a gun and then they're dead. So that doesn't seem that difficult to deal with, which is another thing that was not that interesting to me. That's the case here, too, I guess. But at the same time, I think it's a little more the transition seems to be a little more subtle from what we see with the Adlers next door. Like, grandma's just hanging out there being kind of comatose. Yeah. And like a non-entity almost. And then all of a sudden she's running around the house attacking.
The running? Okay. Let me tell you, that is like a huge difference. I know every quote unquote zombie or apocalyptic type show has their own version of what these zombies or creatures or monsters or whatever you want to call them are going to do, how they're going to act, if they're fast, if they're slow, if they're going to like amble and just like moan. Let me tell you, running grandma, horrifying. I was like, well, because she's in a wheelchair. Like, they could run away from her, right? She's not, doesn't seem to be that mobile. The fungus gave her life.
Irrelevant, yeah.
She sprints, and it is horrifying. This is truly a terrifying type of monster to be dealing with if they're going to run at you. Now, I know we know enough to know that there are different types, right? There is ones like clickers or something. There are some other type.
I'm not ready for clickers. I don't know what they are. I know I'm going to find out, but I don't want to know.
Do you know what it reminds me of, Zed? It reminds me of, did you ever watch the movie The Grudge growing up? Like that, I think it was like teen years.
No.
Okay, good.
I know what it is.
Don't do it.
No, I did not.
Years of my life were spent terrified of the noise of like, and I feel like it's going to be very similar to that. I feel like we're going to get clicker noises that are going to haunt me for life.
No, thank you.
Yeah. But grandma, zombie grandma was horrifying. And yeah, so this is like a fungal infection. And we do. How did you what were your opinions on them giving us more of the neighbors than we got in the video game? Because we don't know them at all in the video game.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting getting kind of more of a general sense of their day to day normal life. And then there being some stakes and Sarah getting a sense of what has happened here more clearly than you do in the game. In the game, it's just like she wakes up and her dad's not there. And he should be. So that's scary enough, especially if you're a younger kid. And then I think she can like hear people screaming outside, but doesn't really know what's going on. And you're controlling Sarah in the game. And I was like, I don't want to go outside.
Yeah.
I mean, like you could stay here.
You could see like explosions in the distance, right? There's like there's stories on the news about really scary things, and then you see the explosion, and then you see it like out the window in the video game.
Yeah.
I think you also hear dogs barking in the video game. You don't out and out see the dogs like you do in the show, which let me tell you, Zed, I was never happier in this entire hour and a half of the show than when that dog escaped. Because yeah. I think at this point we can say in most apocalyptic type of shows where you're having some kind of creature or monster, the dogs are the smart ones. The dogs can sense something is up. This dog knew something's up with Grandma.
Yeah, Cosmo does too.
And I liked that. I liked that we didn't get some version of a zombie dog. This dog was able to, the dog was noped right on out of there. And I was like, yes, Lassie, go free. Think everything.
Yeah, they will like warn you because they can scent it and sense it in ways that humans cannot, and it's like they know it's time to go. Yeah. So get out of there. Thank you. Don't do this to me. Yeah. But so talking about the gameplay a little bit, more so than just from a story perspective, but from a mechanical perspective, you do start by playing as Sarah. And I was like, I'm walking around. What am I supposed to be doing? I don't really know. I would like to stay in the house. I would like to not leave the house. And I went to the front door, but the front door wouldn't open. And I am used to games that have like a little mini map in the corner. And like right now I'm just in the house, but still I was like, am I going to be given an objective? Am I going to be told where to go? And the answer the entire time is no.
Yeah. No, you're really not given it's more of an explore at your own leisure type of situation. I didn't have that tough of a time with this part. I was able to get downstairs and, you know, see the phone buzzing and you look at it. And then immediately, you know, you kind of, I think there was like a noise outside, which I was like, nope, not going out there. I'm in my PJs. Yeah. I don't have shoes on. I don't want to go outside. And at this point, I think is when you go into the double, you go through the double doors and Joel comes in. And this is when the first time we see like an actual gameplay, Joel and the whole neighbor confrontation where we get our first zombie. I don't even know what you call these people yet. Again, like apologies if we're not getting the terminology correct because we haven't played that much of the game so far, so I don't know what we're supposed to call them, but an infected person.
Yeah, well, I think they're the infected, although someone said to me there's like different degrees of like an infected versus a not quite infected. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna go with infected versus sounds great not for now. Yeah, and we have these, like I said, these stakes, right? Because now we've in the show, we've seen the neighbors, we've interacted with them, we know them a little bit. Whereas in the game, it's like, get in the truck, we're getting out of here. And Sarah wants to save people along the way. And Joel's like, we don't have time. We're not doing it. We're getting out of here. Someone else will come along and take care of those people. Yeah. We gotta go.
The car ride, the truck ride was one for one. It was like identical to the video game, which for me was not super great because I get very bad motion sickness and being in the perspective of someone in the backseat of a truck was not fun for me. But it was interesting that they included all of those things from the video game where we see like a house, like a farm house on fire. We pass these people that have a kid and he says someone else will come along and pick them up. And I did think they did a great job at specifically Sarah wanting to be the one to help other people, and Sarah being very inquisitive and very concerned with what's going on, right? She is asking a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Which I really liked and I feel like did translate well onto the screen. But this part was intense because it is like our first bit of survival mode kind of like action where we're going through the streets of Boston, or excuse me, Texas. We're trying to get out and there's just people everywhere. And what did you think about the fake out, Zed? Because you played the game first, so you got in the car accident.
Yeah.
And then on the show, it seems like you're going to get into a car accident, but the car like screeches out of the way.
Yeah. So I thought that was going to, it seemed like maybe the crash was going to take Sarah out that time. Mm-hmm. Cause there's like a quick shot and then Sarah's on the ground and I'm like, wait, are they not going to, like, that's okay. You don't have to shoot her, but are you not going to shoot her?
Yeah.
I thought maybe we'd lost her already. And I was like, that feels like a big diversion from what is seemingly like a really iconic start to this game, because this whole scene happens before the credits, the opening credits in the video game, is this whole prologue with Sarah. And then once she gets killed is when we see the credits, and then 20 years later. And I was like, whoa, like what a start to, like, geez.
Yeah.
What a start to a game. You know, you just have this kid crying in her dad's arms as mm-hmm. she dies. And it's so dark and it's just the light from the like military guy's gun.
Mm-hmm.
Really brutal.
Yeah. In the show, they change it up. And instead of this car crash, we get this like massive plane crash, which it just feels like they're like, we got HBO money. Why not?
Yeah, it definitely seemed like a lot more military intervention was happening a lot sooner on the show. Like there were planes flying like way too close and crashing. And it seemed a lot more like the authorities were already hyper aware of what was happening compared to the video game, where it feels like this is just starting to break out and people are just kind of trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah. I definitely felt that way as well. And so we get like, so again, I am, for those who don't remember from our kickoff podcast, I am playing on easy mode. My whole synopsis here was I have played video games, not a ton of video games in this style, and I'm mainly here to gather the story information. I don't want to be punishing myself and killing myself constantly. This part of the game was fairly easy for me to run around and follow Tommy, and I was able to avoid getting attacked at all. There is one moment where there is, I'm trying to think, is it an ambulance crash? There's some kind of crashed car in the woods, and there are zombies there or infected people there that can attempt to grab you. I was able to avoid being grappled by any of them. How did you fare in this part of the game? Were you able to get through unscathed?
Yeah, the getting out here was not difficult. I didn't have any challenges in the game until we got into the present day, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
The whole opening sequence felt more just like walking through a cinematic.
Yes.
That is like, this is the background of our story, and then the game will start after these opening credits.
Yeah. So we get separated from Tommy differently in the show than in the game. But regardless, we end up in front of this military person, and of course, at this point, Sarah is injured. She hurt her ankle in the car crash / plane crash. And we get this military person who is like immediately given instructions to take these two out. And I felt like it was so brutal to watch this, because we all know like someone's not making it through. Again, the first time I played, I thought Joel was the goner and Sarah would be the one. I've given that we had followed, and I think the show does a good job and the game does a good job of setting you up for that thought, because we're playing from Sarah's point of view in the beginning, so you think we're just gonna stick with her. But what ends up happening is this guy sees these people and he's carrying her. I assume the reason he's given instructions to kill them is because she's injured, and they assume it is because she is infected. And he takes his shot. And I thought the show did a really good job here of like very much. Oh, it's a one for one of Sarah's death. And oh, my God, like the screaming. It's like such a brutal death. It's not a quiet death. Like it is loud. It is bloody. It is emotional. And it was hard to watch it twice.
Yeah. It's a lot playing this game and then watching the story again is tough. And I did say in the Discord, I feel like the show is somehow even more grim than the video game. And I think that does have to do with like the extra time that we spend with Sarah. I feel like makes it hit even harder when this moment happens. Especially because for me, as I was watching the show, then I knew what was coming in a way that I didn't when I was playing the game, because nobody had told me this is not Bella Ramsey. So I was still shocked. When she was shot, shocked and shot for you down the hatch listeners out there. It is really brutal.
It was really, really brutal. And thankfully, Tommy is there to kill the military guy that's about to take Joel out. But he's like, we gotta go. Like, we don't have the time. And we immediately smash cut from there to like 20 years in the future in the game.
Yeah. Whoa, whoa, whoa. There's a lot of dots to connect here, my friends.
Yeah. Yeah, it's how did we end up in Boston, right? Like we're in the show, we're in 2023, which again, we're like, why are you doing this to us? We don't need this.
Yeah, you didn't
have
to. It didn't have to be specific years, and we would have been fine.
Nope. So in the game, it's what, 2033?
I guess so. If we're presuming that the prologue of the game takes place in the present for when the game came out, which was 2013.
And we're 20 years later. Yeah,
20 years later. So still in the future. So we could, you know, have a fungal pandemic in our future instead of in our present. The options are limitless and delightful.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Yeah, so we're in Boston, and just to, you know, make things even more cheerful, Joel is like unloading dead bodies off a truck.
This was brutal on the show.
They added this extra little scene here. With this kid who gets brought to a hospital type place in a wheelchair.
And he's strapped into it because they don't know if he's infected or not when he arrives at the city.
And I think they tell him, we just don't want you to hurt yourself or whatever. And they scan him because now in the present day, they have this technology to scan people to see if they're infected or not, which is going to come into play in a little bit. And they don't say anything, but we see the red screen that means he ain't gonna make it.
Red is bad. Red is always bad.
Yeah, we know this much. They have not explained it to us. We can infer. Red's not good.
Yeah.
And so then the nurse or whoever this attendant is at the hospital who's like receiving him looks him in the eye and lies to his face and is like,
horrible.
We're going to give you some medicine and then we'll get you all the food that you like and some new clothes and toys and like everything's going to be okay. And I imagine they're euthanizing him when
they give him that shot
right after that. Cut to this body of this kid on a truck full of dead bodies. And here's where we meet Tess. And Tess is like, I can't. I will not. And so we see Joel lift the body of this kid into like the burning pit of infected bodies. And I was like, again, this was not in the game. And we've just added more like really grim content to the show.
I think they wanted to immediately set the stakes and also let you know that this new version of Boston is no joke. Like, they are, things are dire. They are very, very strict, right? This is a military state. And people will not be given second chances. Yeah. And so I thought it was a very good job of like setting up the world if you haven't played the video game, because for us who got to run around Boston and explore a lot of Boston in the game, and kind of hear snippets, right? We see different moments where there are people being shot in the street. We hear whispers of the Fireflies, and, you know, like a radical kind of group, you know, I think they did a good job of setting up like what exactly the state of the world is in a few short scenes, which again are very devastating. And I think are important to set us up for like Joel's relationship with children, because we're going to have him interacting with Ellie. But yeah, of course it's like, why do you do this to me, show? Like, this poor little kid, you found the cutest kid possible and then just offed him. It was terrible.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's very effective. It's awful because it's effective.
Yeah.
So they do accomplish a lot in a very short span of time here. And this is where we meet Tess, and we're hearing these rumors about the Fireflies. And in the game, I was like, is that a rebel group? Are they supposed to be the bad guys? Because they sound like the people I want to be friends with. Because what else is new? They are against the authorities. They're against the military state. That's who I want to hang out with.
Yeah. And in the game, we spend a lot of time dealing with Robert, because we meet Tess, who in the game, I will say, I felt like it was very ambiguous, Tess and Joel's relationship. It wasn't obvious to me that they were romantically linked. In the show, they made it very obvious, like she climbs into bed with him and like snuggles into him. So I felt like it was more overt in the show. But we spend a lot of time with Tess and Joel trying to get back. They change it in the show, where in the game it's guns. They have these guns. Robert was supposed to sell them these guns. Instead, he sells them off to someone else.
Right.
And so they have to go make Robert pay.
Yeah. And let me tell you, tracking down Robert was a whole ordeal for me. So I'm playing on normal mode, which is a little more challenging than easy.
Yeah.
But is not hard or survivor or grounded mode, because there are so many ways you could make yourself miserable with this game. But the challenge for me wasn't even like fighting off the zombies or the infected for the most part. It was literally finding Robert.
No, I had a very similar experience, where this entire portion of the game is really meant to teach you the mechanics of like how to jump, how to like pull on chains to make doors open.
And like move ladders and stuff.
Move ladders, gather materials, right? All of those things. You know, let me tell you, the hardest time I had with the game, anytime they put me in the dark, because I got to put my flashlight on. And there were times, because my husband watched me play the game, he's played the game. I used him as like a, you're going to help me if I get stuck in a pinch, because I'm going to get frustrated. There were so many times, and I had played this portion once before, where I couldn't find the hole that I was supposed to crouch down and crawl through.
Yeah.
And so many times. Like, you got to make it more obvious for me, game, because I was lost. And I would get, I don't know about you, I had very, without a mini map, like you were saying, I had a very tough time orienting myself in the buildings. I would like backtrack a million times, because I would go in like a drawer and gather a bunch of the gears, and then I'd stand up and be like, okay, wait, where was I just, and where do I need to go next?
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, I came down some stairs. Oh, there's the stairs again. Oh, I'm back at the stairs.
Yeah.
I have a hard enough, anyone who's watched me play on Twitch knows I have a hard enough time keeping track of where I came from and where I'm going with a mini map. It's just like not the way my brain works when I'm playing a game. So to not have one is just like painful.
Do you think we'll ever get one? I mean, I guess because we're going across country, we're not going to be in the same place twice, right?
Yeah. So I guess I did specifically ask. I was like, is there a button I push that makes a map come up? Because when I first played Remake, I was doing it without a mini map for a while because I just didn't know
there was one.
And I don't think I would have ever finished the game if I had had to continue playing it that way. But I don't think we're getting one, and that's going to be brutal.
It's very tough. I'm not very good at navigation in life, in video games, in anything, especially when, I mean, we'll say, like, to the game's credit and of course the show's credit, really great world building in terms of like when we're exploring these abandoned buildings, it's a sad situation, you know, like things look dire. I'm surprised for me on easy mode, there's tons of gears and little shiv making supplies and med kits everywhere. But very dire situations in a lot of these buildings that we're in.
Yeah. And I'm also used to movement mechanics of like, if you have to if you're moving forward and you have to crouch to go through something, the character will crouch and go through it. So there were definitely a number of occasions where I was like, oh, I have to press the button.
Same. The buttons, learning, how are you faring at? I mean, you tell me. I'm not sure how much experience you have playing PlayStation. I grew up on Nintendo. So for me, the buttons are the opposite of what they should be. Like A is not in the same place that your main button would be.
It's
on
the reverse.
Yes.
Yeah. X and circle are the reverse of A and B on the Switch, for instance. Yeah. Which I know because I went through a period of time where I was streaming PlayStation and Switch games simultaneously.
Oh, no.
And that is a muscle memory mind F. Currently, my issue is that in Final Fantasy VII Remake, circle is dodge. So I keep trying to dodge things and I'm just crouching and uncrouching instead.
Yeah.
I also keep pressing square and accidentally punching nothing.
Oh, I've done that a million times. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is not helpful. Sometimes I just stand up in front of an enemy because I'm doing it totally wrong.
When I am supposed to be stealthing and crouching, so many times I have accidentally stood up. The biggest hurdle for me personally is, for those of you who play PlayStation, you know, it's like L1, L2, L3, and then the same on R, left and right. I don't know the difference between any of those. And so... I always like, because L1 to me means the circly button, but that is not the case.
No,
I don't think. And so 9 times out of 10, I am trying to do the little move where you lean up against a wall and you can sense, because he has some kind of sensory.
He can, like, hear really well.
And you can tell where the bodies are. Instead of doing that, I turn my flashlight on and off a bunch, which is super fun and helpful and definitely will not get me killed in the future. I am having a very tough time learning the mechanics and getting them into my memory. And hopefully my muscle memory will kick in at some point. I'm going to have to avoid playing Nintendo for a very long time to kind of learn these mechanics, I think.
Yeah, it's like I'm trying to sneak up on the guy and I want to hit triangle to grab them. And that's just not what happens. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm just going to have to punch you a lot. Because this is where we are now. And there's no getting out of it. But getting to Robert, my challenge was literally just figuring out where he was in this like shanty town of market stalls, I guess. And people in the chat were like, he's by that other guy. And I'm like, okay, I've been by all the guys.
Yeah.
I need more information than this. And I'm getting trolled and people are like, oh yeah, it was my favorite part of the episode when Joel just stood around in a circle for 10 minutes. And I'm like, well, what do you want from me? I'm doing my best here.
Yeah, I think I fared a little bit better in that aspect. Luckily, you have the Twitch chat to help you. I have my husband who's played the game sitting next to me. So if I really get in a pinch, I'm like, you gotta tell me what direction to go. And like, I'm getting annoyed now.
I've talked to all these people and they're all just yelling at me. So
yeah,
oh, he's, I was surprised, hiding in the back of a bus. Okay, great.
Yeah, I was surprised there wasn't more interaction with randoms, to be honest. Like, I felt like a lot of this portion of the game was spent hiding and stealthing and learning, like, oh, if you throw a beer bottle or a brick, you can get them, like, distracted. Which, let me tell you, I find that more difficult than anything else. I would much rather just
picking
stealth
them up. I was like, no, thank you.
Me too. I was like,
I didn't
want
to accidentally throw them when I didn't mean to.
And the aiming when the throwing, very complicated for me personally. But I was very annoyed because I'm very much the hunter-gatherer. I want to check every drawer because if there's supplies, I'm going to need them because I'm bad at the game. So I know I'm going to burn through all my shivs and I'm going to need a million med kits to save my life.
Yeah.
And every time I'd walk up, it was always a freaking brick or a beer bottle. And I'm like, I don't need another one of these stupid things.
Also, I think you can only hold like one brick at a time.
Which, how are you going to tell me? I have pockets. I can shove an extra one in there.
Yeah, I'm a man. I have lots of pockets.
Men have so many pockets, and I am playing as a man. Let me have the pockets. But no, they don't give me the extra pockets. And I agree, though. It was this whole portion of the game was dedicated to learning mechanics and learning how to stealth. And I got better at stealthing, I want to say. I don't know. How about you? Like, did you struggle with trying? Like, how many times were you able to just choke someone out versus having to end up fighting them?
I got pretty good at that fairly quickly. It was more keeping track of how many guys there were, because I'd be in the middle of choking one guy and two more guys would show up. And I thought the bottles were going to be Molotov cocktails based on every other game I've ever played. So I'm throwing bottles, trying to set things on fire, and then nothing happens.
That would have been so much fun, more fun.
Yeah. So my like main point of reference for like an action game rather than an RPG is Far Cry 3. So when I'm playing on Twitch, I'm like, in Far Cry 3, this is what would happen, or this is the mechanics and I wish it worked like this.
Yeah.
So that's definitely how I've been operating playing this game, is like, in Far Cry, I'm a great sniper. I love hiding in corners and taking people out who don't know I'm there, because if I have to fight you, I'm like face to face, I'm probably going to lose. So please let me just shoot you without you even knowing I exist. And that's great. You look around, I'm not there. I'm 50 feet away up a mountain. That's a little more difficult in this game because my aim with a gun is bad. And it's like really hard to shoot at them without them being able to see you.
The problem is I take too long, right? Yeah. Like, I found that I was decent at the stealthing. I'm going to blame Tess here and say she sucked at the stealthing because she always seemed to be the one to get us caught. And I had the same issue you did where like I thought there was just one in the area and then there were two other guys who ran up, at which point the fists are coming out and we're just straight up punching these people to death. But my shooting needs improvement, I will say, because I had the same issue where I would stand to shoot and I would try to aim for their head to get the one shot. Cause you know, if you shoot them in the head, that's it. Whereas if you shoot them in the body, it's going to be like at least four different shots. And I'm like, I got to conserve bullets. We're in a state of emergency here. Yeah.
Limited resources.
Yes. And I'm not very good at shooting. I will say I didn't die at any point in this. I don't think in this part. Due to being shot maybe once, but I did get two headshots during this entire one portion we played. I have gotten two headshot kills, which I think is commendable. It feels good. Probably everyone is laughing at me being like, you idiot, that is nothing. But for me, two feels nice. So that's how I fared.
Yeah, listen, we're doing our best here, okay? No one said we were good at video games. We just are playing the video game.
Exactly.
That's always what I say on Twitch. I was like, I'm not here to be an expert. I'm not here to tell anyone how to do anything. I am just here to play and hope for the best. Yeah, I got some good shots in as well here in the docks eventually. But it was definitely a challenge. I think I had to go. It took me three tries to get through the docks, maybe. And in contrast, I often hid while Tess was fighting. And I was like, great, you kill them because you're the team. This is not an escort mission. I don't have to keep you alive. You're alive because you're an NPC.
This is plot armor for you, NPC.
I'm going to help when I can. But you fight. You have a good time. And fascinating. I'll shoot guys while they're distracted fighting you.
This is fascinating. I took the opposite approach. Tess was nothing to me. I was like, you are pretty useless. I'm going to do all this work myself and you will help out where needed. But there were moments where I would be sneaking and taking people out on the mission to get Robert. And Tess would be the one who would get us caught. And I'm like, girl, do you see me sneaking? Do you see me? Do you see the crouch position? This means sneak mode. Okay. Crouch means sneak and you're shooting and you're
crouched,
being loud.
You're crouched.
Yeah. And you're being loud and you're getting us caught and I'm pissed. So that was tricky. I also struggled with the remembering how to jump over items where you have to like run and vault over things. That was like tricky. But overall, I did die at one point where you are with one of the Fireflies later on when you're trying to kill people. But finding Robert is the tricky business that, again, we straight up skip over in all of the show. We're not finding Robert. Robert is just, he's there.
Yeah, the show skipped all of the things that were difficult for me about playing the video game.
Yeah, and you're like, this is rude. This is rude because I spent a very long time on this portion and we just are skipping straight over it, which I will, to be fair, probably not as entertaining to watch on TV as it is like watching someone be bad at it or struggle with it on Twitch.
Yeah, but you want to see those fights and the struggles and the challenges of like, because this is the thing. It was not the infected that I had a hard time fighting. It was the like, you know, the guards.
Yes.
The guards were my issue.
I said this to everyone. I have said this to everyone. Give me all of the I'm gonna regret saying this. Give me all the infected. The cops are what terrify me. And you want to know why? The cops have guns, and guns are scary. And I don't want to be shot. I would much rather get my hands dirty and punch someone or shiv someone, or strangle someone and hit them with a piece of wood with some nails in it.
Oh, that was really satisfying.
And it breaks too. That was very satisfying.
I will whack you with this 2x4.
Yeah, take a 2x4
until
to the
it
face.
Breaks. Yeah.
The shooting is not for me as much, but I have a feeling that both of us are gonna have to improve our shots to have any chance at surviving this game, because it's only gonna get worse from here, I can imagine.
Well, and I think I will. It is definitely part of it is the muscle memory of the button commands of this particular game, because every game has their own set and they're never the same.
Yeah.
Like, is triangle interact or is square interact? Are you pressing X? Are you pressing circle? Like, what are we doing? So we'll get there. The thing that I really miss from Far Cry, and people are going to get tired of me making comparisons, but it's the game I have to compare it to. Is in Far Cry, you had a camera and you could tag your enemies using the camera and then you knew where they were, which is like, you know, a made up video game mechanic that makes no sense in like the physics of real life, but meant at least even if you couldn't see them, it's like, okay, well, I know there's 5 or 6 guys and I've gotten 2 of them.
Yeah.
So I can keep track that they're like around. In this case, it's like, especially in the sprawling docks, by the second or third time I was doing it, I was like, all right, I'm going to go get this guy first and then I'll go get that guy and I'm going to drag them and I'll hide them because I don't want to raise suspicion, because that can happen. And
you can drag the bodies.
Yeah. When you've got them in, when you grab them before you strangle them, you can move them for a little bit.
Oh, I thought you meant like drag a dead body. You meant, I see what you mean. You mean like,
yeah,
I would grab them
and pull them into a shipping container and strangle them in there so that they're not just lying out in the open.
You're
I don't
so
know
much
if that's
smarter than
thing.
Me. I was just like, I'm focusing on the strangle. Just got a one body at a time mentality. Yeah.
I don't know if it's a mechanic in this game. But what I have learned from Far Cry is like, you don't just leave the dead bodies out in the open, because if somebody sees them, that raises suspicion and then they're out looking for you.
Yeah.
So if you just quietly strangle a guy in a shipping container, nobody knows anything's even happened.
Yeah.
So that was my move.
That's an excellent move that I might try to implement moving forward. And around this time is when we meet Marlene. Who we get a lot more, I feel like a lot more from her in the show, where we know she is like head of this chapter of the Fireflies. She is injured when we meet her. In the show, it's a bit different because Robert is already dead and we don't kill him. And again, in the show, they're looking for a car battery versus guns. That is what the trade is.
Right. There's also this moment where, like, Joel goes to see a guy whose job is, like, sending and receiving messages. Like, he must, I guess there are a handful of communication towers.
Right.
And there's, like, you know, it's a challenging process, it would seem, because you have to wait in a really long line to send
Joel
a message.
Skip it.
Or find out if you've received a message. Yeah, Joel just walks in because he's special.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think this is just the way of the show being, or the game being like, hey, Tommy is gone. And we know that Tommy at one point joined the Fireflies, which we now know to be like a rebel organization. And this is just their chapter in Boston. And we know that they've been like setting off like bombs and stuff and like basically working to distract the military. And yeah, so they want, in the game, Marlene wants the guns. In the show, Marlene wants the car battery. And we get a lot more. We learn a little bit more of some of the players in this Firefly group in the show. But the whole reason that they need it is left a mystery up until we meet Ellie, right, who they're trying to sneak out of Boston. And now I was a little confused, though, because maybe this is my stupidity. But I was like, okay, but why are they trying to contain people in the box? Like, let them leave. Like, you want to go? Great. Less food we need to give you. Less ration cards we have to give out. I guess the thought is they'll get infected and then have to fight them later or something. But
yeah, so they have these quarantine zones, and it seems like you can't move between the zones.
Yeah.
Like, whatever zone you're in, that's where you stay, and you will be there forever. No one's going anywhere anymore. And it is like a wilderness out there.
Right.
And you got to stay inside.
Right. And so Joel wants to leave because he wants to find Tommy, who was last like heard of in Wyoming. It's been like a few weeks or something. And so that was why in the show, Joel and Tess had purchased a car battery in order to like get the battery in the car and leave. Whereas in the game, Joel and Tess seem to be dealing in contraband, more specifically guns, and that's how they get double crossed by Robert. So we end up killing Robert, because honestly, screw Robert. Like, he's a jerk anyway. He ends up dying. And
all that work for what?
Yeah, it was honestly, it very much felt like this is how you will learn how to play the game. Robert is the first mini boss, essentially, that you have to get to. But in the whole process, we meet Marlene, who is attempting to get Ellie out of Boston. They want to get her across the country.
In the show, I feel like this gets made more clear because we have this conversation that I think we don't get in the game. Where we find out Marlene was the one who put Ellie in the like Fedra school.
Right. Yeah, it is definitely more clear in the show. Now, I don't know. We might learn this information the more time Ellie spends with Joel. Like, it's possible she could reveal that later on in the game.
Yeah. And Marlene, she asks Marlene why a Firefly would put her like in a Fedra institution when they're enemies. And Marlene says, because it's where you were safest until you decided to sneak out. I really like Marlene. I was like not totally clear on Marlene in the game, but I really like her in this episode of the show. She also says, you fight for 20 years, you're not a rebellion, you're just spray paint, which I thought was a really good line. Mm-hmm. And just like kind of a really clear picture of the mentality that she's at this point of like, she's been trying to do this for so long and not succeeding. And so this is, it's almost like this is a breaking point, and maybe getting Ellie out is part of that.
It's very much like Ellie is the bigger picture because of what we find out later, which is that she got bitten, she got infected, but she survived, and she is not turned, or whatever phrase you want to use.
Right, which is supposed to happen within 2 days, and she's had that infection for 3 weeks.
Right. And so the deal is they're gonna, as long as Tess and Joel get Ellie out of town, they'll give them again the gun / battery. They'll give them the goods. And like the other this other chapter of Fireflies has been instructed that as long as Ellie gets there safe and sound, they'll give them basically whatever they want. Because I believe in the show, it felt more explicit in the show that like there could be some type of like scientists working on a cure, and Ellie is going to be like integral to that situation.
Right. Because she seems to have, we would imagine, some kind of like genetic mutation or something that is making her resistant to the virus.
Exactly. So
fungus. I guess it's not a virus. I'm not a scientist.
Yeah.
Don't at me.
I felt like they did a really good job in the game and in the show at setting up who Ellie is, like personality wise. Bella Ramsey feels like perfect casting. She's a very spunky, precocious teenager who knows nothing besides this life. She was born during all of this, right? It's going on 20 years. So she was born in the middle of all of it. Only knows this life. We don't know really, like, her parents are long gone. We don't really know what happened to them. Voiced by Ashley Johnson in the video game, who is, of course, anybody who watches Critical Role knows her very well. But I really loved the beginning interactions. I thought played very well. I thought the chemistry was really on point with Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey. And I really liked the scenes in the game and, of course, in the show where we're just meeting Ellie for the first time, and they're kind of like hanging out in the apartment waiting to get the go-ahead to attempt to get Ellie out of town, where Joel is kind of playing babysitter. I thought it was really interesting that they added in, because to my recollection, it didn't happen in the game. I could be wrong. Maybe I missed something. The thing about the music mattering, right? Where it's like 60s, 70s, 80s, or sorry, 70s, 80s, 90s, maybe, whatever type of music played on the radio meant something.
I don't think that was in the game. She finds that like big book of like code or something. Because in the game it's literally just they go in that room and she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm killing time. And she's like, what am I supposed
and
she, to do?
Yeah, he like takes a nap, and like, so that's I don't know if that's meaningful for later on, or if it was simply a mechanic to, if it was a brilliant job by the show to incorporate music, obviously, but also to have that be the way they play us out of like, you in danger, because it's a bad song. It's like a 70s song, which means danger, danger. So I really liked that incorporated into the show. And I was wondering if I had missed something in the video game where that was evident.
No, it definitely wasn't in the game. And I didn't totally follow it in the story, but that's fine. Or in the show, rather. We'll figure it out. It'll make sense eventually, maybe. Yeah, so we're going to head out with Joel and Ellie and Marlene, and we're nearing the end of the episode here as we're like making our break, and we're going to get to this moment where the three of them are captured or caught by the authorities, and they scan Tess and Joel, and they both come up green, and I could tell what was coming here. I was like, oh, there's no way. She can't let this happen. And we get our first big moment from Ellie where she shivs the guy in the leg because she's going to scan Red because she has this infection.
Yeah. I liked the change from game to show as well, where in the game, when it comes up as infected, it's like a green light or a green background with like positive written in like red. I liked it better in the show, how it was just like green means good, red means bad. This was interesting. When I was playing the game for the first time without having seen the show, I wasn't expecting it. I figured Ellie is nervous. She wants to get out of there. She shivs the cop because she doesn't know what else to do. But I thought this was fascinating, where she has been infected a few weeks ago, but she is still fine. This was the part of the game I struggled most with. we are, after we get rid of this one cop, we are now fleeing from an entire bunch of cops, and we are hiding behind things, attempting to get out of the city. I struggled most with this. You have to like stay out of the spotlights, which I had an easy enough time doing, but the part where you're, no matter what, you're going to run into cops was the hardest part for me, because they're shooting me from a distance. So shiving them or strangling them is very tricky, and figuring out where to hide. I died a few times in this specific section.
I think I stopped playing right before this moment. This is like, we got away from the one, and then I knew we were going to be running away. And I was like, all right, if I can stop here, then I think this is where I'll stop, because that's where the chat said I should stop. So I have not fully, it sounds like I have a bit of a fight coming directly ahead of me right now.
So the reason I played through this part was simply because the way we end the show is with the image of the city of Boston and the buildings kind of tilting in on, like, Leaning Tower of Pisa style, right? Like leaning in on each other, covered in greenery. And so knowing that that part was like, I hadn't gotten there yet, I continued, you know, similar. It really, I don't know that it's that different. I feel like the show, they skip over this portion. They're able to just escape. They don't really have to fight a bunch of people. So I think it's a slight difference in the show and the video game. But yeah, this is where we end up, where they have escaped the quarantine that they're in. But they're now going to be dealing with what seemingly they're going to be dealing with more of the infected versus dealing with the cops, at least in the immediate future. So we'll see where we go from there. What are your biggest, I guess, hurdles that you think you're going to have going forward in the game, at least for the time being?
Well, I'm just so curious, like, I guess in the show, they're going to Wyoming. In the game, I don't necessarily know where we're headed. So I don't know if now we're going to be like outside for a long time. And is it now like, you know, we're traveling, we're pitching camp, we're fighting off infected. Like, I don't know what outside of the quarantine zone is really. And we've only been inside of it so far. So it's really hard to predict what the next portion of the game is going to be like. For Final Fantasy folks, it's a little bit like, you know, getting out of Midgar into the world map territory. Maybe it's going to be like my pets fighting right next to me.
I think, because we do hear in both the show and the game, when you're trying to escape, like, the cops, them saying like, oh, they're the infected's problem now, or the infected will get them, don't worry about it. So I'm gonna guess that the next bunch of chapters are gonna be dedicated to us learning how to fight the infected now, because we really haven't had a ton of opportunities to do that thus far. Like, we saw one that was like real nasty, like stuck up on the wall, right? Like, we've seen a variety of stages of them a little bit, where we have the ones that have been like, are you, they can't even do anything at this point. They're just mushroom.
Yeah. So, I had to fight a few of them in the, like, in the initial, getting to Marlene, I think, like before getting to Robert,
right,
there were a few of them inside that I had to fight. We also see that one guy who's like, don't leave me here to turn.
Oh, we have to just shoot him.
Yeah. I was like, okay, I'll rescue you. And the game was like, no, you will shoot him. This is the only option that you have.
Yeah. It was really mean. The show, the game was just like, no, you have to shoot him. That's the game.
I get that it's a mercy killing, but that was not my immediate instinct. And I was like, oh, this is where we are. Okay.
Yeah. But I feel like the next portion of the game is going to be more dedicated to like this. And this is how you kill the infected. Because we're now going into a portion of the city where I can't imagine we're going to be running into like a ton of cops. But again, what do I know?
Like, they're out there. They stay inside and make sure people don't go out and infected don't come in.
Exactly.
But they're not out there like mitigating the problem, as far as I can tell.
Yeah. Which, in my opinion, bring it on. I would much rather be dealing with the infected than dealing with the cops. Let me tell you, because the cops have guns. And the infected, while they may come in waves of a lot of them, they're not shooting at me. So I feel like I stand a better chance. I'm much better in one-to-one, hand-to-hand melee combat than I am at shooting at people. So we'll see how all of that goes, but so far so good. I think I'm doing a decent job. I think the hardest part for me is going to be learning what button does what and not turning my flashlight on when I should be crouching. Cause I've also heard that can alarm some of the infected and get them to attack me. So that should be very fun.
Yeah. Seems like that would be a big improvement. Like once we get over those initial game mechanic hurdles, hopefully we'll be in better shape. But that's about it for us this week, I think. That's what's going on in the game. Next week, we will cover episode 2, Infected. That's the title. The title
there
of the episode
go. Infected.
Is Infected. What could possibly go wrong? Mm-hmm. That's what we will cover next week, and we will cover whatever in the game happens in that episode. We don't know. That's kind of the whole point. Mm-hmm. So that is it for us this week on the Last of Us First Playthrough podcast. Jess, what else do you have going on?
You can hear me on Community Building Weekly with Josh Wiggler talking through season 5 of Community. If you're a big Community fan, we've covered all the other seasons already. So go check all of that out. I am still covering National Treasure Edge of History with Marissa. That show is a hot mess express, but it is so much fun to talk about it every week. So you don't even have to watch the show. Just listen to the podcast. And of course, you can always hear me on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me talking Dawson's Creek with Sarah Ferguson, as well as some other bonus content. We did just cover Thelma and Louise, which was a lot of fun. And we have more coming up in February. So you could follow me at the Jess Sterling on Twitter. Of course, always find me in the Patreon Discord. I'm always hanging around in there. What about you, Zed?
I am here. This is my podcast. It's the one and only right now. And other than that, you can find me at twitch.tv/hardrockhope, where I am playing The Last of Us live on stream on Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern. I found lots of new folks last week. People are excited about this game. They're excited about the TV show, which is great. So come hang out with me there. Otherwise, I am on Twitter at Hard Rock Hope, and I'm still playing Final Fantasy. If you stuck through this long listening to this in the Final Fantasy feed, and you're like, but this isn't Final Fantasy. I hear you. I love Final Fantasy too. I'm still playing Final Fantasy on Twitch. You can hang out with me there and still get your Final Fantasy fix, even if I'm not talking about it on a podcast every week. So that's it for us at the Jess Sterling at Hard Rock Hope. We will see you next week here on The Last of Us First Playthrough podcast. Until then, stay safe. Don't eat mushrooms. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.